Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, streaming online at freakradio.org. I want to let you know about an event that's coming up. The Palestine-Israel Action Committee presents The Cost of Occupation for Israelis and Palestinians. It's a lecture by Israeli activist Dorothy Noor. It's again Wednesday, March 19th at 7:30 p.m. at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, which is located at 515 Broadway in Santa Cruz. There will be a $5 to $10 suggested donation, but no one turned away for lack of funds. It's co-sponsored by the Committee for Justice in Palestine, WILF, and the Resource Center for Nonviolence. And I'm actually joined on the phone right now by Dorothy to talk about her appearance here. Dorothy Noor was born in San Francisco, California in 1932 and grew up in the Bay Area. She met her Israeli husband when he came to study at UC Berkeley in the early 1950s. They and their three children made Israel their home in 1958. Over the past 8 years, much of her time has been spent in activism against Israel's occupation of Palestine. She is a member of New Profile, a pluralist feminist movement comprising of males and females, which seeks to transform Israel from a militaristic society to a civil one. New Profile supports refusal to serve in the military, opposes the Israeli occupation of the Palestinian territory, and supports selective divestment from companies that contribute to maintaining the occupation. And again, Dorothy Noor will be here in Santa Cruz Wednesday, March 19th at 7:30 p.m. at the Resource Center for Nonviolence. She's also joining me on the phone right now to talk about the cost of occupation for Israelis and Palestinians. And hello, Dorothy.
Hi, George. Thank you for inviting me to be on the program.
Of course. Thank you for taking the time to be here. I know you have a busy schedule. So why don't we start off just talking a little bit more in depth about New Profile. Tell us how the group got started, who founded it, what was the purpose, and what kinds of things have you accomplished, and what kinds of strategies do you use?
Oh, that's great to talk about New Profile. It began as a study group about 10 years ago. A group of people got together and who were dissatisfied with the Israeli society and thought something was wrong and started working on it and realized after not too long a time that the problem really was that the society was highly militaristic and became a movement rather than an organization in a sense. And even today we really don't know. There's a core group of activists, but there are many, many more people who are with us, who read our email. We have an alternative information email, and we invite everyone to join. When I say Israel is militaristic, it is, of course, in many senses, so is the United States, but Israel perhaps supersedes even the United States in this. It's not only that everyone is obligated to go to the army at the age of 18, males and females. Israel is the only one of two countries in the world that conscripts females. In fact, the question of whether we need an army or not has really never come into our discussions, and we're pluralistic, and some people think that we do, others think we don't. But Israel is militaristic in a great many other senses, even without the army. That is to say, militarism has many characteristics among them, nationalism and patriotism, and of course the male domination of society, and amongst other characteristics, it uses force to gain political objectives and so on. And this is something that we aim to change. Militarism begins very young in society. It begins, one might say, when a baby, especially a baby boy, is born, when parents and neighbors and grandparents will boo and coo over the new infant and say, ah, another soldier, or, oh, a future chief of staff, as if this is the most wonderful thing in the world. And, and from there on it goes. People just expect the children to go to the army.
So what are your primary strategies and tactics that you use to challenge this militarism in Israeli society? Is it mainly educational? Do you ever do direct actions or street theater? What kinds of things do you do to call attention to this?
We do all of those. We try mainly to educate, but also there's some direct action. Right now we are running a campaign against the government, which is running which itself is running a campaign to motivate kids to go into command, into the army. After the second Lebanese war in 2006, there's been a problem. Not many, many youngsters do not want to go into elite combat units. And the government has been running the last several months a campaign, even with large signs on buses and on internet and in the newspapers, saying the true Israeli is one who does not dodge service. But the aim is to get more children to volunteer for elite combat units, not only to get them into the army. Now, we have every youngster in Israel, whether he goes to the army or not, he, she, has a military profile. And a military profile of 21 allows a person to be excused from army service on emotional or psychological or medical grounds. Just recently, there was an ad in one of the three major dailies in Israel. I saw it on the internet here, a brief television program of it, that now Israel is going to induct, not just let children volunteer, but youngsters who are mentally retarded, and it's going to induct several hundred of these. This is aimed to deny others who have been what is called gray refusal, people who do not want to say that they are opposed to going to the army. They don't want to sit in jail. It's not, they don't want to do civil, they want to go according to the law, and they want to get out with the army allowing them to. And so this is aimed at these youngsters, because if even children who are mentally retarded will be inducted, then there's no reason to allow anyone to get out on a psychological ground.
And what kind of campaign is New Profile doing to challenge the government campaign?
Well, we've put out a little booklet that kids can put in their pockets, and it raises questions and asks them. We're trying to get youngsters, we're not telling youngsters don't go to the army, but we are trying to get them to think. And we have also a newspaper campaign going, telling where the army and military says that the true Israeli is one who dodges. We say the true Israeli is one who thinks and asks questions. And if we are invited to schools, we cannot go into schools as you can in the United States, but we can, if we are invited, we can go to schools. Just recently, two of our activists were invited to go to a military academy for high school students, and the children there came prepared to bombard our activists with denials of what they were, and instead they were asked questions which made them think and wanted our activists to come back again and to continue the discussion.
So
we have...
Go ahead, sorry.
We have youth groups where kids can ask questions that they're never allowed to in school. We have a summer camp that we support. It's not ours, but we support it, where youngsters are again invited to come and to ask questions and to think about things they're never encouraged to think about. Israeli children are not encouraged to think, and we do encourage them.
So some of the ways that you support refusal to serve in the military, which is one of the things New Profile does, is through education, through going into the schools.
When we're invited.
When you're invited. Do you have some kind of hotline that people can call there?
Yes, we do. Of course, 24-hour hotline, and also a website. It's www.newprofile.org.
Newprofile.org.
Mm-hmm.
For folks who want to get more information. So another thing that your organization does is oppose the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory.
That's right.
Are some of the tactics that you use in that area? Do you go into the territories? What are some of the things that you do?
New Profile does not as a whole go into the territories. It feels that it has its hands full in opposing the occupation by educating youngsters to question and to avoid going to the military. It's a big job. And also we're educating adults. We're trying to, at least. It's not an easy job. People in Israel really take for granted that this is the way it has to be. And so it's quite an upward battle.
So but most of the work you do is not in the territories. What kinds of things do you do within Israel to bring attention to the occupation of the Palestinian territories?
Mainly we oppose it, and we certainly support selective divestment, for instance. And many of us go out and speak. New Profile as an organization does not go out into the territories, but many of us who are activists do. Many of the people in New Profile do, and we do, but New Profile tries to concentrate on changing the society from a militaristic to a non-militaristic, but many of us who are active in New Profile are active with other organizations as well, so that and we do go out to the territories, and we do a variety of things. There are those of us who go to demonstrations against the wall with Palestinians in their villages and show solidarity with them. The wall is supposedly I presume you know that there is a wall. It's an apartheid wall. It is a wall that is supposedly for security, but it is not for security because missiles can go over it and tunnels go under it. And we know that many Palestinians who are seeking only to work do get into Israel without permits, so the wall does not keep them out. And but it does take land. You see, Palestinian villages are built in the village itself is a unit, and the lands are not in the village, they're around the village, so that it's very easy to cut the village off from its land. And there are villages that have had 92% of their lands taken away. So this is an attempt to not only take land away from the villages, but it is also an attempt to transform Israel, to transform Palestine from an agrarian society to an urban society.
Because often the land that's taken is agricultural land, not always, but a great deal of it is.
Almost all of it.
Mm-hmm. So you say that one of the things you do to oppose the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory is to support selective divestment from companies that contribute to maintaining the occupation. Can you briefly explain what you mean by selective divestment, and what are the types of things you do to support that?
Well, we have been asked, when the Profile has supported movements for selective divestment, such as the Presbyterian Church, and when the Israelis have been asked to help, or even if they haven't been asked, we have gone out and signed our names to movements for selective divestment. Many of us do as individuals. Selective divestment is normally, some of us would go much further, but as I said, this is we're a pluralistic organization. All of us agree at least on selective divestment. There's boycott and there are sanctions as well. Everyone can boycott. Selective divestment and sanctions are normally performed either by countries or by large organizations. So when we say we support it, we do not ourselves divest, and we cannot boycott very much in Israel since we live there. But we certainly think that pressure has to be put on the Israeli government. Israelis pay a high price for their government's expansionist and ethnic cleansing policies. So we feel that we're not only helping Palestinians, but we are also helping Israelis by supporting any move that will put pressure on the Israeli government and on the American government to stop supporting Israel with $3 billion in military aid.
So selective divestment is basically kind of self-explanatory. It's selective. It's not meaning that you're asking other nations to completely divest from Israel in total, that what your organization is asking is that people divest from specific companies?
Companies that support the occupation.
I see.
That they help in any way support or contribute to it. For instance, I don't think the Caterpillar necessarily supports the occupation, but certainly contributes to it because its bulldozers are used to demolish homes.
So one of the things you do is to identify those companies and then educate?
We do not identify them, no.
Okay, so
we write letters and we tell organizations that are considering selective divestment that we will support them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we have a statement we put out in support of selective divestment, and it has been copied and by others. And this is the way we hope to encourage. Of course, we go out as I am and speak and try to help people to understand what is happening, and then ask people to support divestment and sanctions and to themselves boycott.
I'm speaking with Dorothy Knorr. She's a member of New Profile. Again, their website is newprofile.org. The group is a pluralist feminist movement which seeks to transform Israel from a militaristic society to a civil one. She is speaking Wednesday, March 19th at 7:30 p.m. at the Resource Center for Nonviolence. That's located at 515 Broadway in Santa Cruz. It will be upstairs. There's a $5 to $10 suggested donation. No one will be turned away for lack of funds, though. It's co-sponsored by the Committee for Justice in Palestine, WILF, and the Resource Center for Nonviolence, and is being presented by the Palestine-Israel Action Committee. She'll be talking about the cost of occupation for Israelis and Palestinians. I wanted to ask you, you say that, well, New Profile, your main focus, is to transform, again, Israel from a militaristic society to a civil one, and I guess that I'm sure there's a lot of Israelis who probably don't take too nicely to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that probably the majority of people, though I could be wrong, I'm just guessing here, might not think there's a real problem with Israel being a militaristic society and may view it as a necessity for survival. What would you say to those folks? I'm sure you talk to plenty of them living in Israel and being a part of this organization, which is certainly pretty fringe right now in Israel.
All left organizations are pretty fringe in Israel, even though there are many activists, but we are the fringe of society. On the other hand, before I answer your question, you have to know that that immigration to Israel has almost come to a complete stop, and emigration has increased greatly. So that this is a sign that not all is well. And the problem is that people are kept in fear. And this is something that happens in the United States as well. I mean, you're always daily, you hear that the intelligence service has said that, it's going to say that this is going to be a bad year. Just recently, for instance, the intelligence, there was in the Israeli media that, I'm looking for it here, that the Israeli intelligence chiefs are expected to paint an extremely pessimistic picture in their assessment for 2008 at the cabinet meeting this morning. This was just a few days ago. And the prime minister, when he was visiting Ashkelon, a city which has begun to have experience grad missiles, says, get used to rocket fire. I mean, this kind of thing you're exposed to daily. You're exposed to a war environment, and this keeps people afraid, and fear keeps them from trying to shake the boat too much. But people are leaving, so that something is happening. We try to waken people up and say, look, 60 years of the use of force have not brought a moment, an iota, of security to Israel. 60 years of the use of force has gained land but has not saved lives. More than 23,000 Israelis, which may sound very like a very small number in the United States, but for a country of 5 million people, it was 7 million, but 5 million Jewish people live there. It's an enormous number. 23,000 young men and women have been killed in action since the state was founded. And it's a very sad society in this respect.
What about the rocket fire into Israel? Here in the United States, whenever we pick up a newspaper article about the issue, it's usually presented, almost always, as a response by Israel. It's a reaction. And whatever rocket fire, whatever kind of attack has come from Gaza is always painted as a provocation, never as a reaction.
No, it is always a reaction. I mean, we've had many periods of quiet. In fact, the last big, the last major incursion just a week or two ago was after, yes, there were many rockets that were fired, but first 19 Palestinians were killed and then 20 Palestinians. In 5 days, Israel killed 120 Palestinians. You have to know that the ratio is 40 Palestinians killed for every Israeli killed. Now, I don't think anyone should be killed, but when you have a government that believes that land is more important than lives, then you have a problem. And there's another problem that many people don't know about in Gaza. In 2000, a large reserve of natural gas was found right offshore, and Israel wants this gas very much. And this may be one of the reasons that we have so much, that Israel is provoking the rocket fire.
What do you mean, Dorothy, that Israel is provoking the rocket fire? Can you be a little bit more clear?
Well, it's provoked by killing people. The minute you kill people, we've had a quiet period now. I haven't heard of any rocket fire, but Israel the other day killed 5 Palestinians in Gaza. So you can expect it. People who live in Sderot, a city that gets the bulk of the rocket fire, know the minute that Israel shoots that they're going to get hit. And it's a very sad situation. I was in Sderot and I interviewed people and I asked them what they thought was the solution, and most of the people just said there is none, which is very, very sad.
In Israel?
Most of the people in this community, Sderot, that I interviewed. I did not interview a huge number because I was there one day, and I hope to go back and intend to go back.
Sederot, the town that's been hit the most
by
the rockets.
That's right. For 7 years, it's been suffering from rocket fire. And
so are you suggesting that when there's a quiet period, that's when Israel goes in and assassinates a number of people?
That's absolutely correct. Israel cannot say Israel. When I say Israel, I'm talking about the government. Israelis is one thing and Israel is another.
Right.
The government is another thing. That's right. Israel's government cannot take quiet periods. It must have a reason to supposedly respond. It begins it, but it supposedly, after a day or two, you hear that it is responding to the rocket fire.
So what will you be speaking about when you're here in Santa Cruz?
I will be talking mainly about the cost of the expansion and ethnic cleansing to Israelis. And this is not to say that there is any symmetry between what Israelis suffer and Palestinians suffer. As I said, the ratio of killed is 40 Palestinians for every single Israeli, and but most people, you can never have any symmetry between an occupier and an occupied, between an oppressor and an oppressed, right? But many people have heard about what the Palestinians suffer. They do not know that Israelis pay a very high cost also. The cost in life, the cost in socioeconomic terms, the cost in post-traumatic distress, and the cost in lack of security and total absence of security. So this is what I want to expand on tomorrow, to focus on tomorrow. And I will also be talking somewhat about what the Palestinians suffer, but primarily I want to focus on what Israelis suffer. People should know that Israelis are paying a high cost for the for their government action. And the way to stop this is, there's only one way to stop it, and that is to give the Palestinians their rights, their freedom, justice. Most Palestinians are want nothing more than to live and let live, and we can live together. After all, Palestinians and many other groups, Jews and others, live in the United States, in Europe, and in other places together. They did for many centuries in Palestine. The Jewish problem was not with Muslims. The Jewish problem was with Christians in Europe. And in the 19th century, when Zionism began, it was with mainly in Eastern Europe. So there are ways of solving the problem, and I mean solving the conflict, or whatever you want to call it. And I continue to be optimistic that it will be solved someday, but we need leaders who realize that this is not viable, the present situation, and continuing expansion and ethnic cleansing.
Well, we look forward to seeing you here in Santa Cruz, and thanks so much for joining me today on the phone to talk about these issues.
Thank you very much, George, for asking me. I'll be glad to see you.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Again, that was Dorothy Knorr. She is a member of New Profile, a pluralist feminist movement comprising of males and females, which seeks to transform Israel from a militaristic society to a civil one. They have a website. It's newprofile.org. They support refusal to serve in the military. They oppose the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory and support selective divestment from companies that contribute to maintaining the occupation. Dorothy Knorr will be here speaking on the subject of the cost of occupation for Israelis and Palestinians. This event is put on by the Palestine-Israel Action Committee. It's co-sponsored by WILF, Resource Center for Nonviolence, and the Committee for Justice in Palestine. It's going to be at 7:30 at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, Wednesday, March 19th, upstairs. 515 Broadway is the address. There'll be a $5 to $10 suggested donation, but no one will be turned away for lack of funds. If you need more information, you can go to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. There's a calendar at the top of the homepage, and this is one of the events that's listed. Also, want to quickly let you know there'll be a vigil marking the 5th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq as well at 7 o'clock, and that's going to be at the town clock. If you can make it to that and the event at the Resource Center, that'd be really great. Because the event at the Resource Center starts at 7:30, you could go to the vigil at the town clock and then head over to the Resource Center. I don't imagine that event will probably start right at 7:30. There's usually a little bit of time, so you could probably make it to most of the event with Dorothy Knorr. I encourage you to do so. I don't think that that event has gotten, it's gotten very little promotion. So this station and a post on Indie Media, I don't know much else that's been put out there. So please spread the word. Dorothy Knorr, Resource Center for Nonviolence, 7:30 p.m. Thanks so much for listening to this station, Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, streaming online at freakradio.org.